what I wanted to do is a few minutes for the private group, but you were about to say something. And
I was going to actually ask you I used to live in Yuma, Arizona. I just wondered where your center was in Arizona.
I'm in Sedona.
In Sedona.
But it's interesting that you mentioned center, because one of the projects that I was shown that I need to do is to create a physical center, which is not an ark, you know, where they saved animals and stuff, but a demonstration center, mm-hmm. where all the real health stuff is shown, but also the complete ecosystem of a way of life that is life friendly. And I got a lot of detail of how to do it.
Wow.
And it's an expensive project and I don't have the money for it. But if it's supposed to happen, maybe some strategy can be put together that would work for it. And if you're ever interested in that, I can show you the details.
Yeah.
It would be incredible.
Well, and I think right now what we need to do is to be doing self-supporting little medical pods where we have equipment, we have knowledge, we have people with expertise, we identify these people, and we help our local communities to not go to the, people don't want to go to the hospital. They're recognizing hospitals are killing machines these days. And so we need to not go to the hospital. And what are the biggest reasons we have to go? We don't have oxygen, or we don't have IV support.
Right.
If we had those two things, just those two things, doesn't take much. So you have maybe a church basement or a house or a garage that somebody rents, and you have a place to store some equipment.
Yeah.
And ideally you'd have a place where somebody could go and get IV vitamin C, for example. And
totally agree. Yeah.
That would save, we could save so many people that way.
Oh yeah. That's a miracle medicine.
Yeah. And then use that ability to have some videos or something that wake people up about the electrical damage, the EMF problems, other things they need to know. They could be educated while they come in and get their little IV.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of need for things that need to be developed right now. And a lot of them fall under the category of life-friendly technologies. But beyond that, and I'm talking about communication frequencies that don't hurt you and stuff like that.
Right.
But another thing that has to be done is a countermeasure to the weaponized banking system. Because right now the it's already in development that central banks are looking at quickly developing digital currencies that are issued by the banks, and they come with social controls.
Right.
So if you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, or you know, attending a protest like they've arrested people for in Australia, you have total freedom to do that. They just switch off all your money.
Right. Right. And your ability to buy food. Now, you know, there's always a way around it. So I heard somebody talk about the fact that it'll make the vaccinated, it'll be able to have a great black market buying food for the unvaccinated.
Yeah, yeah.
Think exactly. About it. I never thought, I mean, that's just kind of a funny one. But here's, Dr. Zelenko made me aware of this patent, and I can't remember the number, but I can give it to you. I think it's like 11117538, but it's a U.S. patent, and it's for this technology that may be injected into us. Now, they talk about it being carried around, so the fact checkers all say, oh, no, we're talking about telephones. No, they aren't. If I say I carry around an electronic device, it could be my implantable pacemaker in my heart, right? It would still be carried around, but it wouldn't be internal. So let's assume that they're putting some stuff in these, that we know people are becoming magnetic. So why would they be putting things that are magnetic in these vaccines? And why does that magnetism change and seem to organize with time? Why do some people, and I can't prove this part, I know about the magnetism because I tested them myself, but why do some people say that they walk by a TV and it tries, like one of the smart TVs, and it tries
turns on or something.
Right. Or it tries to connect with them. You know, it sees them. It's like they're broadcasting an SSID. Well, that's what this patent is about. It says you will have an electrical, a node. It's like you'll be a node and you will broadcast an ID. So when you meet somebody on the street, that person will broadcast their ID to you. You will broadcast your ID to him or her, and then you'll swap IDs, and then you each get a score. So let's say now I go to the grocery store and I'm around 10 people. So I swap with 10 more people. My score is going to be bigger than the guy that just had one and went home. So you get a score, and at some point you walk by a server somewhere and you upload to the server, and then it comes back with a message to you. Now here's where your cell phone probably has to have a play, or maybe it just shocks you. I don't know, but it comes to you and it tells you, well, you've been around too many people this month, so it's time for you to come in and get your new vaccine.
Right, booster. Exactly.
Well, or what was the you've been in the wrong place. You might have to go. I could get you the exact number of the patent, but you might have to go to jail now because we've determined
for your own protection, though.
Yeah.
What about the patent? I think it was 060606, just by amazing.
Oh, yeah, that was the tracking and tracing patent. That was Bob. I think that was Bobby Rush met with. If I remember right, I haven't thought about this for a while, but even before this thing broke out in summer of 2019, I believe that Bobby Rush and his wife met in Zimbabwe with Bill Gates guys, and that they agreed to push the tracking and tracing bill through Congress. And the bill was House Bill, I think 6666 or something.
Yeah.
And then the patent was, one of them was 060606, and the bill was 6666. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
That just happened to be what was available that day, is those numbers.
Right.
But the one I heard about had a patented financial system that would give you, you would spend money through it. What was it called? Was it some kind of hydrogel or something? It was.
Well, see, the hydrogel is what I'm talking about, which we know can interact with your nervous system.
Right.
And may have, it could be in coordination with this other stuff that makes a neural network that broadcasts. And it can network with your nervous system, but it can also we could add things like they call them spions, super paramagnetic iron oxides. There are all sorts of things that we're finding in these things that people are reporting that could make an actual broadcasting network. And so add that to the fact that now you're completely, what that would do is they will know where you are at all times, who you're with, how many people you're with. Mm-hmm. You combine that with what you're just talking about with buying money. If you're with too many people, and let's say, they went to church, we cut off their funding for some.
Yeah, it could decrease the bank account. And there was also an aspect to it that if you performed certain actions, they would add credits to your account.
Mm, great. That does go along with this.
Yeah. So avoid the vaccines, but also we need to be working on remedies for the people that realize they maybe shouldn't have gotten it.
Well, I do think we have some. I think the biggest thing that we can't know much about yet, but MIT has just come out and said, yes, this stuff can get in your DNA, we think. And I read their paper, and it sounds very, very suspiciously right. I mean, I think they are right on. It certainly would not be something I would discount. They show in the Petri dish how you give them this spike protein and this vaccine stuff, and it goes in and intercalates into the DNA of the human cell culture in the Petri dish. They just can't prove it in you yet. But let me tell you, I mean, that's pretty convincing. Yeah. That says that there's a mechanism and that we have these what's called reverse transcriptases, these enzymes which allow that to happen, which allows RNA to be reverse engineered into DNA, which then gets into your DNA. So that's the biggest issue is once you take synthetic DNA, because this is not normal DNA or synthetic RNA, it's got an abnormal base in this nucleoside. So what does that, I don't know how we deal with that, but it may not be that we may be able to, but one of the things I think we can deal with is the electron stripping. I think carbon 60 and some of these things so electron donors, methyl donors. One of the things this does apparently is shuts down some methylation, which that's why we're seeing people, you get the vaccine and then they break out with shingles, right?
Right.
Or they break out with cancer. Okay. Because we know that you have these so-called viral, which are probably the exosomes, but so-called viral genetics in your DNA, and you have cancer genes in your DNA. So the BRCA gene for breast cancer, but what if you don't get, you're born with the BRCA gene, but you don't get breast cancer at age 9, you get it at age 69, right? When your immune system is not as strong. So they've dumbed down our immune system. Well, and the way to help that is a methyl donor. So some, there's, I use betaine for people, but is dimethylglycine. People have heard that. Tetramethylfolate and betaine. That's trimethylglycine. Right. Those things donate methyl groups to try then reclose down your DNA transcription of those bad areas. So there's lots of things. Selenium. Here's the one thing that Tony Fauci didn't do for the gay community when they were given the AIDS problem. Other people showed that if you saturate people's blood with their plasma with selenium, they don't convert from HIV positive to AIDS. It's like sometimes cuts it down by something like 87%.
Right.
Well, that's selenium's a cheap, easy supplement. You don't want to overdose, but if you take 200 to 220 micrograms a day, mm-hmm. What we're seeing in the UK happen, and probably is happening here, but we're not reporting it, is that people are losing, they're degrading their immune system by like 5% a month, they say.
Right.
Which could mean that now there's talking about VAIDS, vaccine-induced AIDS.
So, yeah.
And that's what they're looking at. Well, okay, we got these four inserts from the HIV that they're put into the spike protein. Why are we surprised? But here's the thing. We have things we could do about that now. So
exactly. And this gets into another really interesting big story about AIDS, because do you remember the doctor? God, I have to remember his name. It started with a D and he's no longer alive, but he gave a bunch of talks on the AIDS scam, you know, didn't mention Fauci particularly, but this was a guy that went all over the place giving lectures, and he wanted to convince people AIDS is not what you think it is, and it's not even contagious at all, even by blood sharing.
He injected himself, right?
He brought an AIDS patient with him that was diagnosed, and he stuck a needle in the guy's hand and got some blood and made a cut on his own hand and rubbed it together. Right. And he did that 200 times. Amazing coincidence. He never got sick.
Right. He's got videos now on Telegram. I've heard him, and he's right. I mean, you know, the AIDS apparently blossomed out in the gay community after Dr. Fauci and others were experimenting with hepatitis B vaccine in the gay community.
Yeah.
They asked for volunteers, and 6 months after they got those hepatitis B shots, we started seeing AIDS.
Right. And you have to give proper credit to the AZT drug too.
Yeah. And then we made it worse.
It had the same symptoms as so-called AIDS.
Yeah. And then we made it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wasting, how many of them would not have had any problem if they just stopped there, but then we destroyed their immune system.
Exactly. Because I think we have a lot more to talk about, because, you know, we're pretty much aligned in what we're trying to do. And I really think that we limit ourselves by assuming subconsciously so many things are impossible.
Right.
We might not even be conscious of it, but it affects everything.
Yep.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you're sure that something's impossible, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think you're right. I have to catch myself, and I know somebody said to me, I was talking about, because I was trying to explain, you know, part of it is I want people to stop taking the vaccine, and please don't vaccinate your children.
Right.
And it does get a little dark sometimes.
Yes.
And it's like, and I'm going to tell you, my oldest son, he's such a wonderful, I have two boys, and I would do anything for those guys, but my oldest son, he's a newly minted general surgeon. You can hear this one coming. He's in a 2-year, very prestigious fellowship where he gets an MBA in medicine and trauma ICU fellowship trained. Right. Can write his job anywhere. It's 6 months left to go, and he got vaccinated to stay in the program.
Yeah,
and
I don't understand that.
So I'm highly motivated to solve this problem and to make the world better. I don't want this to go down.
Exactly.
But somebody said to me, well, we just have to, it's kind of like we just have to believe in a new world. We have to envision another world. I said, unfortunately, somewhere deep in my background, my great-great-great-great-grandfather was a revolutionary, and I'm a warrior. And sometimes you've got to fight for your rights.
I don't
think we can just breathe deeply and believe. I think we have to do something here.
I think the physical action is critical, and you can't just like be spiritual and ignore everything on the physical level. But
do it the other way.
But what comes out of the physical level is controlled by the consciousness behind it. So if you talk about a wonderful cause and you're full of hatred and fear and low vibration stuff like that, then the good cause stuff on the physical level has not good results.
Right. I 100% agree with you.
If that makes
and
sense.
And fear is, you know, I always, years ago reading that book, Dune, fear is the great mind bender.
Yeah.
Well, that was the quote that I always remember from that book. And that fear is the thing that's keeping us in this mess. That
and
people are afraid of losing their jobs, or afraid of being not fit in with their buddies, or afraid of all these different things.
I found a way to eliminate the source of fear that we might want to talk about at some point.
Absolutely.
That's quite useful.
Maybe that should be our first one.
I thought it was really important that we have some kind of a means of communication.
Perfect.
Because this is all time sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, the destructive plan is moving as fast as it can right now.
And I do like the idea of discussing, we could discuss so many aspects to the fear. And then you can.
Yeah, it's almost at the base of all of it.
It really is. It's a complete psyop based on, I mean, that's what mass trauma mind control is.
Right. And it's not just getting rid of the fear, it's supplementing it or supplanting it with love on a level that people don't even really understand. You know, it's not the romantic love that you love somebody and then you hate them because they did something you don't like. It's a proactive, donating type love that you're able to give to anybody if you become a clear channel for it. And that includes so-called bad people. And it's transformative. So if the love is removed, I mean, if the fear is removed and the love is put in, and I'm looking at ways to do that that are really specific, then that could become a pandemic of consciousness that spreads without anything to stop.
I think we need to do that. You tell me how I can help on that.
If you're open to that, I just felt like you might be. Okay, so if we both try to remember to try, let's do that.
Let's do it.
Because partnerships,
I'm excited about that.
Partnerships are more than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, absolutely. Got it.
Okay.
Go win.
Thank you, doctor.
Hey, thank you, guys. See you, Doug.
All right.